mutually share with them wealth. Now you see how they mutually share wealth? Huh? See how you're going to bring partners in from men to share wealth? And children! Now how are we going to share children? Now you see how we're going to share wealth, now how are we going to share children? First wealth, then children. Those who come into the partnership will become the child too, right? Yes! My child is the one who serves me. He's in my faith. So the big boss will be over the little one. The big one over the little one, that's his child. I brought him in, now he's my child. So they mutually shared wealth and children, not men. But men, real men, wouldn't come into no kind of thing like that. So they share wealth and children. And isn't that how they speak to us?
Boys, you know how they used to talk to us. I don't care how old you were, how white your hair was, or how bald your head was. If you were on the low level, boy, girl, what are my gals doing? I heard this in my own ears. I wasn't born in the South. I was born in Detroit, lived in Chicago practically all my life. And I've heard white people say that. What are my gals doing? Talking about our women. Be talking about our women. What are my gals doing?
Say that right in front of us.
All right. And make promises to them. That's another way he gets us, by making promises to us. Do you know the African-American people, ever since you've been here, you've just been living on the promises of white people? They promised you a good life on the plantation. When you thought that was bad, did they promise you freedom? When you saw that was bad, then they promised you equal opportunity. You've been living on the white man's promises. And he's been failing you at every turn. And he's saying the white man is the devil. Well, I tell you one thing, ain't no black man the devil. He ain't got enough to be the devil. You have to have something to be the devil. You poor, you ain't no devil. You poor and weak, you ain't no devil. You're a victim of the devil. And a black man can only be an unpopular devil. A devil of no consequences, except his own destruction. I know one, he thinks he's a big devil. No kidding, so-called black man. He thinks he's a big devil. He pays for snooping devices, the best, most modern snooping devices. And he fixes them so he can hear what you're saying in your private quarters. And he don't know that the big devil is using his equipment without a cost. You got him tied up just like what he's snooping on. But Satan promises them nothing but deception. Means that whatever Satan has promised you, gonna fail. It ain't true. It won't hold up. Now God speaks. He speaks for his own servants. He says, as for my servants, no authority shall you have over them. You hear what Allah says? He says, as for my servants, no authority shall you have over them. Now that's plain. God told Satan, don't. You're free to use the freedom I've created you have. Go and use it. But God says over my servants now, you have no authority . So if you're really a servant of God, don't let anybody make you feel that Satan got some authority over you. He ain't got no authority over you. God says, enough is your Lord for a disposal of affairs, for a disposer of affairs. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ وَكِيلًا. God is speaking to those who choose to be his servants. And he says to them, does Satan have no authority over you? And I am enough to handle all your affairs. You don't have to depend on no strategy of Satan. Don't pick up his tools or his strategy. I'm sufficient. My way is good enough for you. You don't need Satan. That's what God is saying. He's saying, number one, Satan doesn't have authority over you. He's saying, number two, you don't need Satan. We got so-called saints in the religion who think that by using the deception of Satan, the saints can advance their cause on earth. They are fooled. They're getting themselves into the fire and don't know it. Now, the rest of the verses I will read straight through until the section is finished. But those opening verses are the ones that we wanted to give our special attention to, which were five verses. Now for the rest of the verses, 66 through verse 70. Your Lord is he that maketh the ship to go smoothly for you through the sea, in order that you may seek of his bounty. For he is unto you most merciful. When distress seizes you at sea, those that you call upon beside himself leave you in the lurch. But when he brings you back safe to land, you turn away from him. Most ungrateful is man. Do you see then, pardon me, do you then feel secure that he will not cause you to be swallowed up beneath the earth? When you are not, pardon me, when you are on land, let me begin this verse again. Do you not then feel secure that he will not cause you to be swallowed up beneath the earth when you are on land? Or that he will not send against you a violent tornado with showers of stones, so that you shall find no one to carry out your affairs for you? Or do you feel secure that he will not send you back a second time to sea and send against you a heavy gale, that is a storm out at sea, to drown you because of your ingratitude, so that you find no helper therein against us? We have honored all the sons of Adam. I love this from the Quran. وَلَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. And we have certainly given dignity to the sons of Adam. Oh, I love it so much. Because before I got acquainted with this, I was acquainted with the Bible. That said, because Adam sinned, all from Adam is in sin. And then God says, everyone came from Adam is in honor, dignity, not in sin. And we have honored the sons of Adam, provided for them with transport on land and sea, given them for sustenance things good and pure, and conferred on them special favors above a great part of our creation. So those are the verses. And let's take a few minutes to ponder on those verses, a couple of minutes. And I ask that I be excused for a couple of minutes. I'll be right back. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. What we've done
is prepare for the subject or the message of Dalim that we have today. What we've done up to this point was no more than prepare for it. To understand the need for us to assume responsibility for government in our lives, we have to know the circumstances for us in the world. And if you have listened carefully to what we've been saying, our commentary on the verses of the Quran concerning the challenge of Satan, devil's challenge to God, which really is the man. After all, he was not angry with God directly. His problem was man, the man that God created. If we have understood that, then we should know that we should not trust our life, our interests, our future, our welfare to the world. Now, I don't have to preach for an hour on that. Not if you have understood your religion. If you have understood your religion, then you know that we shouldn't trust our future, our welfare, our life, our interests to the world. So I believe that God has blessed me with an opening to prepare you to accept what I'm going to present today. But most of them only want to sell it for a small price. I'm just using the words of the Quran. Allah says, and they write the book with their own hand and say, this is from God, for a small price. Meaning that the little capital that they make of it is nothing when compared to the damage that they are doing. The value is too much for the small price they put on it. Not that what I give you is valuable like that, but what I give you is only that. That's all I'm trying to do. Allah is my witness. All I'm trying to do is give you what I see in that. That's all I'm trying to do. For I don't see anything in anything else. Everything I see is in that. Now, you recall last time we gave the talk, Darlene? We mentioned an important term. Hikmah. God says in the 7th chapter of Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, the chapter called the Height, that Muhammad is that promised liberator. One who would be unlearned, unschooled, untaught, uneducated. And he will be from among illiterate, uneducated people. This is plainly given in the chapter called the Height. Then he will relieve the people of the yokes that they had been bearing. Yokes of slavery. And what it says of him? He will teach the book and the wisdom. He will teach the book and the wisdom. He will teach them the book, al-kitab, wal-hikmah. And I put hikmah up here again. Wal-hikmah. This is hikmah. He will teach them the book and the wisdom, hikmah. This is hikmah. Al-hikmah. Now, this is called the wisdom. But what is the wisdom? Let us go over that, what we did yesterday. We're repeating, going just for the purpose of having this clear today. We're repeating what we said last time. What is this hikmah? That's wisdom. What is wisdom? The wise use, careful, intelligent use of knowledge is wisdom. That's what wisdom is. Now, if one possesses hikmah, he is worthy to step over hukmah. What is hukmah? Government. Hukumah. Hukumah. Huh? Hukumah. Reputation. plan for government. Hukuma. Hukuma. Government. And that's what we're talking about today, government. Hukuma. Okay. So he shall teach them the book and the wisdom. He shall prepare them for dawah and government. Isn't that what stands out in the life of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him? Dawah and government. Was it dawah only without government? Why did he go to Medina? What did he do in Medina? What was established in Medina? Who was the boss? Who was? Illiterate, unschooled, unlettered man came to be the head of the government. Head of state, head of the state, leader of the army, regulator of the economy. That same illiterate man became all of that. Judge in the matter of affairs, And the government was put upon his shoulders. Wonderful counselor. Yes. And they say, who is this coming up out of that land where nobody's are? In stained garments. He has no education. But I'm talking about that scripture now. But the word came, say, come and see. Come and see. Say, hey, we didn't believe it either. But the proof is here. Come and see. Yes, so he shall teach them the book and the wisdom. How come he's a liberator? You're no liberator when you bring a book and a wisdom to people that's got a book and wisdom. They say, hey, very good. See, you got it too. But when you bring a book and a wisdom to fools, uneducated, deprived, without government, and you bring a book and the wisdom to apply the logic of the book so that they will have governmental life, why, you have been now a liberator. For you brought the weak, you brought the dumb, you brought the weak to be established, you brought the dumb to be wise, you're a liberator. Yes. So the scripture tells us of the coming liberator. Who are you looking for? Somebody just like those that's already over you? That's no liberator, just one of the group. He shall teach them the book and the wisdom, the hikmah. You know, once I was thinking, as I was raised to think, that's one thing the Temple of Islam did for us. It taught us to think. And I was thinking. And I always wanted to find the key factor. Key factor. You see, it's factor. F-A-C-T-O-R-S. Factors. If you have three and seven equal something, what are the factors? Three and seven. Right? The factors are 3 and 7. Now, somewhere there should be a key factor in a problem. Right? So here, we don't know which is the key factor. They're both. Or just equal. But if I get a more complicated problem on the board, one will be a key factor. Right? Yes, one will be a key factor. So I always want to know, where's the key factor? I want to look for the key factor. I want to know the key factor. And I was thinking about what we are motivated to try to establish, try to acquire in life. I'm a living being, and I'm driven, I'm moved. What am I driven for? What am I moved for? What am I trying to establish? What am I trying to acquire? What is the best object for me? What object my view of the four rules that I should be going after, that will enrich me the best, that will benefit me the most, that will bring me the satisfaction in life? That's what I was wondering. I was thinking, and government came before me just like that. Government. Government. And you know how government came to me? I saw the sun in my own mind's eye. I saw the sun. And I say, light. The sun is light. I begin to reflect on the sun. And the sun is energy. The sun is light. When the sun comes up, it makes possible our movement, the use of our vision. So the sun frees us. I say, the sun is freedom. Huh? You were taught that, huh? Sun is freedom. I say, and the sun warms us, gives us warmth. It's comfort. Huh? But then I thought, I say, and the plants, they follow the sun. I saw the sunflower. In my own mind's eye, I saw the sunflower. And the sunflower following the sun. As a child, I noticed that. The sunflower would follow the sun. And then my general science that I got in school came to my mind. And finally I came to see the sun in its major role. That it really is a supplier of energy. Its force is feeding and driving the life on earth. Huh? Yes! Its force is giving light and vision to free the forces and then feeding and supplying over to energy and driving them. Huh? I say, government! Government! Government. Then I said to myself, then I should be after government. I should be pursuing government. God has put me on the earth to pursue government. Isn't that wonderful? That's a message of liberation to the slave, the oppressed, the weak. That's what they don't want the majority of you to see. That God has made it an inherent part of your nature. It is a natural requirement in the life of every person that you come into a management, a field of government. Yes! That's your highest goal in life. It's to measure up to government demands in your life. Demands for government in your life. To meet those demands for government in your life. That's the highest goal for you on this earth. Once you have government, then you can rest. Yes. So I was with those people in the Chinese-American Friendship Tour. When we went to Red China about 8 years ago now. And they usually put people with you who are similar to you, you know. So I'm a religious leader from America. Though they are communists, they found a man who had similar kind of case. And they assigned him to me. So he got into a conversation with me. He wants to see what I got on my mind, right? So I said a lot of things to him. But one thing I said to him rung a bell. I saw him just come to life. He vibrated all over. And I said to him, I said, yeah. I said, we have a lot of philosophers telling us what the purpose of life is. I said, but I have come to almost believe that the purpose of life is government. Oh, he just lit up. He just lit up. Don't you know everything God created begins from a small microscopic thing? Not even visible. And it begins to move and grow. And what is it trying to grow toward or into? Government. Your organs themselves are functioning in a government. The government of your body system. Huh? Because your body, physical body, acquired governmental function, you are able to use it and benefit from it. Now, the life within that body, if it doesn't require the same,
you will always be subject to that body. Those who are out of government are subject to those in government. The spirit in the body out of government is subject to the body that's in government. Huh? Is that wisdom or not? The masses out of government are subject to those in government. How come they never can do anything? They're subject to those in government. They're out of government. Yes, he shall teach them the book and the wisdom. Now, dear beloved people, Prophet Muhammad said, peace and the blessing be on him, everyone is an authority. He said, every person is an authority. So Prophet Muhammad believes in private responsibility. Private responsibility. Private authority. We know some of these great builders of this democracy. They dwelled upon the right of the individual to have authority in his life, right? To have authority over his personal life. And right now, many of the new laws that they have brought into existence have been brought into existence because of preaching that idea, advancing that idea, that the individual, the single person, has a right of authority in their own life. Right? Prophet Muhammad said 1,400 years ago before them, every one of you possess authority. And God will question you in the day of judgment as to how you discharge that authority. That's what the prophet said, peace and the blessing be on him. And he said the first authority is authority over your own person. If you have possessions, you are responsible for your possession. Your closest possession is your own self. And God will question you as to how you use your hand, how you use your eyes, how you use your thought, your tongue to speak, how you use your feet. And if you have children, how you treated your children, how you treated your wife, how you treated your animals, how you treated everything under your authority. Every one of you is an authority. That's what the prophet said. And then he introduced the governmental system that required each member in the society to share the burden of government. Participatory democracy. What they are just trying to complete in these United States. Prophet Muhammad introduced it 1,400 years ago. Participatory democracy. After the Carter administration, Vietnam War, and the Carter administration, the policymakers, the visionaries, the political visionaries, the economic visionaries of our day have come to believe that the problem with American people is that we haven't been progressing individually while the nation was progressing. The nation has left individuals behind. The nations haven't become responsive and responsible in this great governmental system, in this great democracy. So the democracy has come to a standstill almost. The thing has collapsed. It has broken apart. Collapsed! Because the very people that make it up are ill-prepared for the responsibility. Isn't that the vision? Isn't that the conclusion of the wise of this day and time? Yes! What is the answer? The answer is the Quran and Muhammad. The answer? God is the authority. God is boss. And whatever you do, let it please God. And establish your authority under that authority. Upon that authority, establish your authority. And without that authority, you have no base to establish any other authority. chase it. But who will buy it except the righteous? Yeah. Praise be to Allah. This is freedom. If I never get into the promised land, I've gotten there. This is freedom. Yes. And that's how you feel when you get it in your heart. You can die in peace. Yeah, I've been there. I've seen the glory of the Lord. I'm a witness.